Crossover Thursday at the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Bucks, Locked On Panthers, previewing this weekend's NFC South divisional matchup. David Harris and Julian Council about to get it started. So let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucks Nation? What's up, Panthers Pride? I don't know, what are the Panthers fans call themselves, Julian?
You can just call us Panthers Nation, too.
Panthers Nation, all right.
It's really this insert mascot nation for anybody.
Absolutely. Unless you're talking to the Raiders, and then they'll cut you for using nation. But Bucks Nation, Panthers Nation, welcome to this crossover Thursday episode here at the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm David Harrison of the Locked On Bucks Podcast. Of course, Julian Council of the Locked On Panthers Podcast on Twitter at dHarrison82 and at Julian Council, just like it's spelled, just like it sounds. We've got one more matchup, one more regular season game for the Carolina Panthers. Unfortunately, it is the end of the season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, solidifying their seeding and seeing who they're going to play. Most likely the Philadelphia Eagles. It seems like they'll host in the wild card round. We thank you for making your favorite Locked On podcast your first listen. If you're watching Locked On Bucks over on YouTube, we appreciate you making us your first view every single day. Julian, one more game and then it's off season for you. Postseason for us, something that we're not honestly still not used to, honestly, covering the Buccaneers having to work in mid-January. But for the Carolina Panthers, other than just wanting to beat a division rival and then hang a win against Super Bowl champion on your mantle, what are the biggest Panthers storylines? What's the biggest motivation for this Carolina Panthers team in Week 18?
Well, Brian Burns, who's going to be in a Pro Bowl, he said on Wednesday when speaking to the media that when he was asked, what is there left to play for in this game? Where you're 5-11, obviously the season's over. There's been a ton of pressure from the media and the outside on your head coach, Matt Rhule, whether he's going to return. He said it's all about pride. It's about keep pounding that. They have one opportunity left this rest of the season to play with these guys, his brothers. And he understands that there's going to be a lot of changes coming up this offseason. I think Matt Rhule will return, but there's going to be some coaching changes. There's certainly that could be all the same players, probably another different quarterback again heading into the 2022 season. So a lot of change is going to come. They have an opportunity to get to a Tampa team where they've been blown out by them three times since Matt Rhule's taken over here in Carolina. They have an opportunity to shock the Bucks and to kind of hurt their seeding, even though you say they're probably going to play Philadelphia either way. They've already won a division first time in 14 years. But yeah, it's kind of the key storyline is just Carolina having opportunity on Sunday at Tampa to try and upset the apple cart for a weekend. Also, Sam Darnold, he gets one more chance this season to try and put on any sort of decent tape to make a case for him to be the starting quarterback in 2022. I don't see that happening at all. He has not played well all season long outside of the first couple weeks of the year. And as we've seen, that was all fool's gold. And Sam Darnold, the same guy we saw 3 years in New York. Just not a good quarterback, not a starting caliber quarterback, but a guy who's going to get paid a ton of money next year, whether he's on the roster or not. And a guy who probably will stick around as a career backup because he's not going to make any waves. He can just sit back there and you can know maybe for a week or two, he can help you win your team's game. So for the most part, that's what's going on with the Carolina Panthers. Got a few guys who've gone on COVID. Yeah, if you guys have come off COVID, Hassan Reddick will be back. He's someone who will be a priority free agent if Carolina Panthers can re-sign him. Also, you have Etor Grosmatos, who's a second-year player out of Penn State, who's actually played really well the last couple weeks, unfortunately, going on the COVID list, which likely he's going to be out on Sunday. Terrace Marshall, the second-round draft pick out of LSU, who's been injured throughout his season, dating back to when he was drafted. He's now with a foot injury. He'll probably will not be playing on Sunday. And Stephon Gilmore also likely not going to play on Sunday. And we may never see Stephon Gilmore again in a Carolina Panthers uniform after the he suffered a couple weeks in that first Bucks game in the loss at Bank of America Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you sum all that up, right? Because it feels like the Carolina Panthers are a team that they have a lot of talent. I mean, Brian Burns, one of my favorite pass rushers coming out in the draft, still one of my favorite pass rushers here in the NFL. You know, Spider-Man, my son's favorite Marvel character is Spider-Man. So I think there's a little bit of a bias in that whole thing there. But you look across the roster, it really doesn't look like it's devoid of talent. And I know that maybe to some, you know, defeating the Super Bowl, the defending Super Bowl champions on your way out of the season seems like a very minimal silver lining type of deal. But look, New Orleans Saints fans are already hanging their hat on beating the Buccaneers twice this regular season, all offseason. We heard from not just Saints fans, but Cam Jordan himself, a player on the New Orleans Saints roster, talked about how they beat the Super Bowl champions during the regular season. So defeating someone in that position can do some things for your team. And I think that for the Carolina Panthers on the outside, looking in at least, and kind of show what potentially is around the corner if they do get better quarterback play, whether it be from an existing player or a new player. Speaking of the quarterback and old players, new players, if Sam Darnold's not it, which I agree with you, I don't think the Carolina Panthers probably should move forward with Sam. Do you prefer a rookie? Do you prefer one of these, you know, Sam Howell type players potentially in the NFL draft? Or do you think they need to get into the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, if that's still a thing this offseason, Deshaun Watson, if he's cleared, Russell Wilson, or maybe Derek Carr, because every year the Raiders are trading Derek Carr?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting. Let me go back to one thing before answering that question that you talked about, like this roster not being devoid of talent. Like Hassan Reddick brought that up, because Matt Rhule keeps talking about the process. And he said a couple weeks ago that it's 1,000% working after the Carolina Panthers had yet another blowout loss. I think it was a game after, it was after the Tampa loss. I'm saying all this is working, even though the results aren't saying that it's working. And Hassan Reddick's like, guys, we got a plenty of talent here. It's just not working, which kind of makes you think, well, that's got to be coaching, right? But typically throughout his career at Temple and Baylor in college, Matt Rhule had the breakthroughs in year three. Now, they also took a step forward in year two, which record-wise, I haven't done that. Defensively, I think they've been better. Special-wise, and to the kicking game, they've been better. But the offense has been the issue all season long. And the quarterback position, like you mentioned, ass there, has been the main reason. And also, the offensive line is the worst in football. They've started 12 different combinations in their first 16 games. I've told the listeners of my podcast, it does not matter if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or your Green Bay Packers. If you have that, you're not going to have success. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is. It's going to be impossible for anyone to have success. Now, the problem is your quarterback is a guy who, back in New York, the Jets, never handled pressure well. So why would you bring a quarterback who can't handle pressure well into the situation where the offensive line is not going to be properly addressed? They understand now, which they should have before, that they have to put in maximum effort into fixing the offensive line. They did that with the defense in an offseason. So I have some level of confidence that they can do that with the offensive line this offseason. I have zero confidence in Matt Rhule's ability to identify a quarterback after signing Teddy Bridgewater to that three-year deal, then bailing after a season, getting Sam Darnold after they struck out of Matthew Stafford because he'd rather go win in LA with the Rams, Deshaun Watson, the dalliance they had with him, the legal stuff, they could never make that happen, then landing on Darnold. So Darnold will be on the roster next year for $18.858 million reasons. That's why he's going to be up here. Yeah. But he will not be the starter. They're going to have to find somebody else. My preference would be, it's tough because like the college quarterbacks, like, I'm a Carolina fan. So yeah. I love Sam Howell. I also don't have a ton of confidence that Sam Howell is going to end up being a great quarterback in the National Football League. It's also a massive crapshoot. Right. I have not seen enough of Malik Willis to form an opinion other than like, screw Hugh Freeze and Liberty. And then there's also like Matt Corral, which I guess everyone's like, oh, that's why you don't play in bowl games. Did Matt Corral die? I don't think so. I think he'll be okay. Right. But I'm fine. I don't love any of the rookies. And Kenny Pickett sucked for 4 years at Pitt and then had one good year. So I'm supposed to believe that he's now the guy. So I don't think the owner David Tepper is patient enough for a rookie, because if he wanted a rookie quarterback, they should have drafted one either last year or the year before, but they haven't done that. So if anything, I think it's going to be a veteran quarterback because they want to maximize the talent on the roster now, opposed to having a rookie have to develop over 3 or 4 years, and then maybe they prove to be that guy. But Matt Rhule doesn't have 3 to 4 years for a quarterback to develop. He has to nail it this offseason. He's not going to try and be like Matt Nagy, who reportedly, according to Boomer Esiason, ain't coming back next year, and we've known that for months now. So he drafted his replacements, franchise quarterback in Justin Fields this past April.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the, like Jeff Fisher, I think, said about the Rams. Like when they're doing well, he's going to come back a couple years later and say, see, I left them in a really good position. But a lot going on with Carolina. We'll see how I agree with you for the record 100% with the NFL draft class and the quarterbacks. This is not the year to need to draft a quarterback. And very much the way the Carolina Panthers kind of went about quarterback business seemed like they were just getting a quarterback instead of getting the quarterback. But hopefully this offseason for the Carolina Panthers' sake, they can find the quarterback. That is going to be a storyline. Obviously, any team that needs a quarterback are going to be a storyline. And when there's storylines, there's odds. And when there's odds, BetOnline is probably going to have a prop for you to put money on who you think the starting quarterback will be for any of these given teams. And BetOnline.ag is the place that we would go to for those props, odds, and lines, because they've got you covered for football like nobody else does through the college bowl games, through the pro football playoffs. BetOnline will remain our number one spot for sports action this entire season. Head over to the website if you haven't already, the new mobile website, the new desktop site. Sign up today, and when you make your first deposit, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus on that deposit. If you want to keep your football clean, you don't want to put any added stress on it, they've got basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC. They've even got your favorite Vegas casino games. I'm a huge fan of blackjack, so that's where I waste most of my money. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the amazing offers available this year. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Back now for segment two here on this Locked On Crossover Thursday for the Locked On Podcast Network. David Harrison, Julian Council, Locked On Bucks, Locked On Panthers. We thank you again for making your favorite Locked On show your first listen every single day. If you're viewing Locked On Bucks on YouTube, we thank you for making us your first view every single day. We've been talking key matchups. We're talking key storylines, rather, before we get to key matchups. Carolina Panthers, a lot going on, despite the fact that after this weekend, they will not be playing football anymore until August of 2022. So hopefully Panthers fans are soaking up every minute they can of what's going on with their team. For the
they're happy it's over. They're actually happy it's over. So don't worry.
But you know what? Come June, they're going to be ready to get more of it. So I don't know. I always got to remind people. I mean, again, I've been covering the Buccaneers for seven seasons now, so I'm used to reminding people, look, you may not appreciate what's happening right now, but in March, April, you know, May, June, you're going to be wishing you had a little bit of it. So soak it in while you can. Fortunately for us, fortunately for our fan base, the Buccaneers will be playing into the playoffs again for the second straight year. Not something we're used to talking about. Believe me, but this game is still important. And I think that going into storylines, obviously everybody's talking about Antonio Brown, but really for the team on the field, Antonio Brown is not the storyline. The storyline is getting healthy where they need to get healthy, ideally, mainly in the secondary. Players have been talking about that Super Bowl secondary that we saw that helped kind of spark that defense, get into that postseason run and end up winning the Super Bowl. We really haven't seen them in his true form. You talk about the offensive line in Carolina having so many iterations. The secondary's kind of been that Achilles heel for the Buccaneers. Now, to prove your point about offensive line stability, that is where the Buccaneers have been healthiest, and that is shown in their win-loss record. The Buccaneers, if they win against Carolina Panthers, will set a franchise record for most wins in a single season, which is impressive. Maybe a little less impressive considering there's an added game, you know what I mean, in the regular season schedule. Yeah, they currently tied with that 2002 team that also won a Super Bowl and also got swept by the Saints and won a Super Bowl. So there's some correlations going on here. I think for this weekend, the big storyline, Julian, is going to be just how much the starters play. We already know that Kyle Trask, the second round pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this last season draft, is not going to be active for this game. I, for one, was kind of hoping maybe we'd see some Kyle Trask, maybe give the rookie some snaps against, live bulls, especially against a pretty good defense. Let's, throw him into the deep end there, see how he can go. But I think the biggest storyline for me is Mike Evans. Mike Evans is, 54, 56 yards away from a 1,000-yard season. Would be his eighth straight 1,000-yard season to start his NFL career. He already owns the record, topping Randy Moss, who had six seasons with seven last year. His seventh was last year. I want to see him get that record. I also don't want to see him get hurt against Carolina Panthers and miss part of the playoffs, especially without Chris Godwin, without AB. So let me flip this question around to you a little bit, Julian, from an uninvested, right? So I've been covering Mike Evans for most of his career. I like the man that he is off the field. I love the player that he is on the field and the teammate that he is. So I want him to have this record. Like, I'm not going to shade it. I want him to have this record. Do you think that's important, given that he already owns the NFL record, to extend that NFL record in the situation the Buccaneers were in? Would you recommend they actually go out there and start Mike Evans, try and get those 56, 54 yards? And do you think that the Carolina Panthers secondary will know that and perhaps maybe overly emphasize keeping him from setting that record against them?
Well, here's the thing. It's also like important because it's week 18 and a lot of players out there are going to be trying to get to certain yardage points based off of incentives. So incentives wise, if Mike Evans has in his contract that he gets 1,000 yards and he gets a bonus, then absolutely put him out there. Now, Tom Brady force feed him the football and get him those yards in the first half or however long it takes, or really hopefully the first half and for your sake, and then get him out of the ball game. Because you're right, Godwin's gone. AB quit the team. That's just absolutely wild, but not really, because it's like Antonio Brown. Like, is anyone really that surprised? And at least you still have Cameron Brate. You still have Gronkowski, and you got some young receivers. Tom Brady, like, he had how many good receivers did he even have in New England? And they won pretty much every single year up there. So I'm not really concerned about the Bucs and their receiving core right now. But I've never been that big of sitting players out prior to the playoffs. I know Cincinnati's likely going to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, Joe Burrow did suffer an injury late in that game, so I don't think it really makes a ton of sense to put a quarterback who's been banged up a little bit in his career already out there in a meaningless week 18 game, especially if your position is not going to change in the playoffs. For a Bucs team, I don't think it's a bad idea. Like Bruce Arians has talked about, like, hey, let's just go out there and keep playing. Cause like, I want to have that momentum heading into the playoffs more so than like, let's sit out, take a week off. Then like, hey, let's get right back up for a playoff game at home. So I would have no problem Mike Evans trying to get that, especially if it has money involved.
Yeah. And I think we're going to see that. Cause again, Bruce Arians, like you mentioned, talked about going out there and winning. Again, franchise records are great. I mean, they're not going to get you in the Hall of Fame necessarily, but franchise record for wins in a single season, Tom Brady is within spitting distance of yet another Buccaneers franchise record, which is amazing since he's only been with the team for 2 years. But that's something that's coming up. But let's talk about winning and losing this game, because again, people talk about tanking all the time. I'm sure there are members of the Panthers fan base that are talking about tanking and preserve draft position, but the guys on the field aren't going to do that, because and I mention this all the time, they're going out there taking a car accident or more worth of damage and impact every single day. You're not going to throw guys out there and tell them to go take that much impact and throw the game for the sake of potentially drafting their replacement. Like that's just not how this is going to work. This isn't Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. They're not going to do that to themselves. That being said, what is the key matchup here for this Panthers team to potentially upset the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week 18?
Well, it comes down to the offensive line. And that's kind of been what I've said all year long, because I had two concerns coming into the year. It was quarterback and the offensive line. And both those concerns came to fruition because the quarterback's terrible and the offensive line is even worse. So really, the matchup I think everyone's looking at, to kind of look on the positive side of this, is the left tackle matchup with, I know, is Jack Barrett going to play on
it's
Sunday?
Possible. Yeah, it's possible. But again, kind of it's one of those things that if it was in the regular season, you have a better chance. He didn't practice on Wednesday with a knee injury. I'm going to lean on no, but it could happen. We'll have to see.
Either way, the Carolina Panthers have been looking for a left tackle for about 9 years now, since Jordan Gross retired. And that's been a position that everyone has been, that's probably not 9 years, but it's been like seven or eight, it's been a while. But that's a position that a lot of fans want to see fixed. And I was someone who was begging them to draft Penei Sewell. Of course, it's Detroit Lions who were drafting ahead of Carolina, took him instead. They decided not to go Rashawn Slater, who's had a great season. I think he's a Pro Bowler out of LA with the Chargers. But Brady Christensen was an All-American left tackle last year at BYU, protecting Zach Wilson's blind side. And Zach Wilson went on to be number two overall pick with the New York Jets. And that's great for both of those guys. Brady Christensen gets drafted in the third round. And there's been thoughts of, okay, he's one of the first offensive linemen, and he's played a bunch of positions on this roster this year. But fans have wanted to see him at left tackle. In the last 2 weeks, they've gotten to see him start at left tackle. Cam Irving's now on IR with a calf injury. So we get another opportunity to see Brady Christensen at left tackle starting against the Buccaneers team, who he started against 2 weeks ago. And Matt Rhule talked about how he took a step forward on Sunday against the Saints, and he really wants to see how he performs against a team that he saw just 2 weeks ago, and if he can have that improvement. Because I feel like in that first half, at least when it's going to be against Shaq Barrett, that he did a decent job. Now, he wasn't out there embarrassing himself. So that's really the matchup that I'm looking forward to in this game. Because if he's able to protect Sam Darnold's blind side, maybe Darnold gets an opportunity. The problem is the interior of the offense line is not very good, but Brady Christensen against whoever he's facing on the edge is really the key matchup. I think a lot of Carolina Panther fans are really focused on this Sunday.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. So I looked up the latest in Twitter news, on Buccaneers players. Bruce Arians said on Wednesday that Shaquille Barrett, one of many players trending up to be available for the playoffs. So it doesn't necessarily mean he won't be back, but I think my gut instinct that he won't be on the field this weekend is probably correct. But a guy like Joe Tryon, Schwenka, the rookie out of Washington that the Buccaneers drafted this year, obviously very hungry. Anthony Nelson, a backup outside linebacker who got a start against the Jets, would be very hungry to go prove himself as well and get a little tune-up for the playoffs as well. My key matchup for this game, Julian, is going to be the running back group. And Ronald Jones, the second, we obviously know Leonard Fournette won't be out in this game. Ronald Jones, second, was in a walking boot on Wednesday. Doesn't necessarily mean he's out, but I think, again, with the playoffs on the horizon, I think you're going to get a lot of Keyshawn Vaughn. And he's a guy that we haven't seen a lot of. We've seen more of lately, but not a lot of over his 2 years in the National Football League. So I'm looking forward to seeing a little bit more of him. Plus, the better the run game is going, or the better the short passing game to the running back is going, the less time the ball is in Tom Brady's hands. And the less time it can be in his hands in week 18, the better, as far as I'm concerned. So those are our key matchups for this weekend's NFC South divisional matchup between the Buccaneers and the Panthers. We'll come back, look at some betting odds, and we'll look at some keys to victory for each side. But first, Bucs fans, Panthers fans, we're going to tell you about an incredible app that everybody who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents back on every gallon of gas every time they fill up just by downloading the free Get Upside app in the App Store or at Google Play. Right now, use a promo code Touchdown when you download that app, and you'll get a bonus 25 cents per gallon back on your first tank of gas. So that's up to 50 cents back in cash on your first tank of gas using the Get Upside app. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Again, just download the free app, use a promo code Touchdown, and get up to 50 cents per gallon back on your first tank of gas, and then up to 25 cents per gallon back on every subsequent tank of gas. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account, which you can then cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Again, just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code Touchdown. That's promo code Touchdown on the free GetUpside app. Final segment here on this Crossover Thursday episode of the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Panthers, Locked On Bucks, talking Bucks and Panthers. Of course, what else would we be talking about? Thank you again for making your favorite Locked On show your first listener view every single day. Julian, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 8-point favorites in this game at home against Carolina Panthers. With, you know, again, play, I mean, this has got to be a nightmare for odds makers because you have no idea what teams are. We can see exactly what we just kind of talked about. Tom Brady come out, hit Mike Evans on a 55-yard post, secure the record, and then both of them could leave the game, and now the odds makers are looking at Blaine Gabbert out there with Jaden Mickens as his number one receiver. Not Jaden Mickens. He's not on the Cyril Grayson as his number one receiver.
Yeah. Well, Grayson's played well the last 2 weeks. Does he have that big touchdown reception against Carolina? Then the game-winning touchdown catch on Sunday at the Meadowlands against the Jets. So I guess MetLife. It's still in the Meadowlands, though.
Right.
The Jets. So, hey, either way, Blaine Gabbert has to play. He's going to be the best quarterback in this game, seeing that Sam Darnold's going to get the vast majority of snaps for the Carolina Panthers. We may or may not see Cam Newton. Who knows?
Yeah. That's harsh words, but I mean, unfortunately, they're probably true words. But Bucks are 8-point favorites. How do you feel about that 8-point spread? Do you think if you're talking to bettors out there, do you think they take the points, or do you think the Panthers can keep this thing to a touchdown or less?
No, I don't see that happening. Like through 17 weeks, I have no reason to believe the Carolina Panthers are going to keep this a competitive game against Tampa Bay. Like once I heard Bruce Arians say that, like his guys are going to play, like I was like, oh, well, here we go again. It's going to be probably the same result we saw 2 weeks ago and we saw twice last season, even without the guys that Tampa's not going to have available. And Carolina, we have plenty of guys who aren't available either. But the problem is you got Sam Darnold playing quarterback and the offensive line's terrible. As long as that's the case, Carolina Panthers aren't going to be competitive against any playoff caliber team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are. So that's the problem mainly for the Carolina Panthers. Defensively, having Reddick back this week will help them. Burns will be who's a Pro Bowler. I'm sure he'll be playing well, but the secondary, though, and that's the thing with the Bucs wide receivers and just having, you know, the injuries that they've had. Like Antonio Brown was the only guy they had a couple weeks ago, and he went out there and he cooked them. And that's before Gilmore had the injury that he had, at least in the second half of that game, which has kept him out on Sunday and probably this next upcoming game. Like Dante Jackson, he's out for the season. J.C. Horn's been out since week 3. A.J. Bouye's out. So they're going out there running out guys like Stan Thomas Oliver, Rashawn Melvin, and Keith Taylor, and asking them to, and C.J. Henderson, asking them to play major snaps. And even if it's just Mike Evans, like Mike Evans is going to have advantage over every single corner that they have out there. Gronkowski should be able to do whatever he wants to do. Cameron Brate, same thing with O.J. Howard, whatever it is. So, yeah, I think Tampa Bay, absolutely. I would take the Bucs for sure in this game.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident with that 8-point spread as well. I haven't made my official score prediction yet, but I'm feeling at least 10 to 13 points is kind of where I'm going to go as far as a margin of victory for Tampa Bay this weekend. And then keys to victory, I mean, any given Sunday, all those things, games not played on paper, all the cliches you want to throw out there. Julian, if the Carolina Panthers win this game, how did they get it done?
A fairy throws pixie dust all over the team. I mean, what if they win this game? Well, if they win this game, it's the way they get it done is the defense has the best day they've had all season long. If you talk about it being a 10 to 13 point kind of score, like the margin of victory, like they would have to hold the Bucs at 10 to 13 points to have a chance to win. Like they held New Orleans at 18 points on Sunday and they still lost. So they led that game throughout the majority of the game. And the defense played excellent, and they still lost. Yeah. So from my understanding, the only way they can beat a team like Tampa Bay is holding them to 7 points, 10 points, and in the offense, taking advantage when they have plays scripted. Because once things are not scripted anymore, whether it's been Darnold as a quarterback, P.J. Walker, Cam Newton, this Panthers offense has no idea what to do. They don't adjust well. And then the defense typically gets worn down throughout the course of the game because the offense can't stay out on the field. So in order for them to win, it had to be the defense, because I'm not going to sit here and talk about unrealistic things like the Panthers offense putting up like 20, 30 points in the game and getting in a shootout and beating the Bucs. Like that's just not going to happen. So yeah, the defense would have to score, hold the Bucs to like 10 points, and then the offense would have to like get at least one touchdown.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, look, it's completely fair because my, I mean, and it fits because my key to victory is going to basically be what my co-host James Jarko talked about last week or earlier this week on our takeaway episode, which was that he believes, and trying to put all bias aside, even though some people are going to believe that there's bias involved, that the only team that can beat the Buccaneers, even into the playoffs, are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I think there is a team or two that might be able to handle them, even if the Buccaneers are playing some of their best football. But that's for the future to tell. I think in this matchup, it really is. Don't beat yourself. We've seen this team beat themselves with, you know, massive amounts of penalties, 13 to 16 penalties in a single game. We've seen this team put themselves in jeopardy, not lose, but put themselves in jeopardy with, you know, badly timed screen passes, getting intercepted by defensive linemen, return for touchdowns, things like that. So basically, as long as the team, whether it's Tom Brady, Blaine Gabbert, Mike Evans, or Cyril Grayson, whoever it is that's on the field, Keyshawn Vaughn, play within the coaching staff, play within the scheme, execute your assignment the way that it needs to be executed, and you should be able to come out of this game with a victory, mainly because, like you talked about, quarterback's the most important position on the field on the team for a reason. And when you don't have one that you can really rely on and execute your offense, you're kind of in a, you're not just between a rock and a hard place. You are the rock in the hard place, and it's you're just not coming out of it. So as long as the Buccaneers go out there and don't basically give the Carolina Panthers a reason to beat them, they should be able to secure that win, set that franchise record for the most wins in a single season on their way into the playoffs, hopefully on their way to a second Super Bowl. For my listeners, for your listeners, hopefully on their way to some successful offseason acquisitions and a killer NFL draft class. But that is more to come. We will talk again, I'm sure, Julian, in the offseason. And then as we get ready for the 2022 NFL season. Until then, good luck this weekend. Good luck in the offseason. Are you going to the Senior Bowl, Scouting Combine, anything like that?
I will not be down to Mobile. No, I will not.
All right. Well, hopefully, if we don't see each other in person, hopefully we at least see each other via Restream, Zoom, whatever it is. Of course, we thank all of our listeners, Panthers fans, Buccaneers fans, for once again listening to your favorite Locked On podcast show, making your favorite show your first listen or view every single day. Come back tomorrow. We got one more episode from both of us, wrapping up our look at the week to come, situations going on for both teams. Your second listen, check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, also your Locked On Raiders host, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Free and available on all platforms, just like both of these shows are. Until we speak again, if you're out and about, please be safe, be kind to one another, and thank you for joining us on this Crossover Thursday of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.